almost a damn mental case. And you see, he was uneducated. And, he really doesn't understand the budget or the departments. And when you get him into a meeting with people that do, well, that's a problem. And he's had nobody to compete with him, for the so-called little man and the little people. But Jimmy is better with him than he is, in a different way, and on a one-on-one basis. Lester is not worth a damn sitting down on a person one-on-one with a group, or he can prophesy and make all this sort of statements that they like. But it's just all kind of damn envy that existed, and it started during the campaign. He threatened to endorse Sanders, and then he talked like he wasn't going to support Jimmy in the general election and all that sort of damn stuff. I wish now it had been better if he had endorsed Sanders or hadn't supported him and got that over with. He spent an awful lot of time. Some of Lester had some good people supporting him. But they're interested in the government. They, when this thing started, they all worked with us, and we tried to work the thing out. Jimmy would meet with him, they'd get together and come out of there, and have him go right back upstairs, start popping off again. After a while, with the strong people around him sort of moved aside, and he's got a bunch of southern people there around him.
What's the role of the media and all that?
They have played it up. And had it not been for the media, well, I think the public generally took Jimmy's side, and even the little people on the out at it. He was the top man, had the top job, and he ought to go along with him. The media sort of give some dignity to the left side of it. But even now, well, while it's hurt Jimmy some, it's hurt Lester more. That's the last poll we took. It goes into that subject, and the majority of a greater number of people think that Lester Maddox is making a mistake by fighting the governor rather than the governor jumping on him so much.
Is that the poll reading last fall?
No, it's taken. Let's see. It's the one I got so much trouble about.
That's the Bill Hamilton poll that was piggybacked on a state.
Let me go into that subject. I don't know when that was taken. I thought it was last. I guess it was
last September,
last September. It's just in the metropolitan area, but they you're welcome to look at it while you're here.
There's one reason Maddox gets all his publicity because of the feud between Carter and the Constitution.
Well,
they deliberately play up what he says.
Yes, they'll play up any time anybody criticizes Jimmy or the departments. Now, another way that it's hurt us, and I say it hurts, is it just keeps you from doing a good job, is it? Maddox is constantly criticizing the reorganized department. They sort of concentrated. Everything has worked out. Transition was rather easy and everything, but Department of Human Resources, which was in the individual units that were consolidated, was screwed up to start with. But Maddox and his crowd has constantly criticized every damn thing that's been done in that area. And so has the newspaper. And Greg just had an article in there about a month ago, which he says that it's hopeless, chaotic, it's going to have to be dismantled and separated. What it is in that, the doctors of the medical association has literally been one of the problems. And they give some dignity and some strength to Maddox. So they took the control of the health program and the welfare program away from the medical, away from the doctor.
Was it State Board of Health before, in effect, controlled by the medical association?
Absolutely.
I know in South Carolina, before, the medical association actually named State Board of Health. They recommended and the governor appointed, but there was no option involved.
Same way.
So what it did then, reorganization in effect, simply took control, which I think under some Supreme Court decisions probably was illegal anyway.
They absolutely had it, and they absolutely controlled it. And they have fought every damn move that's been made since then. And there's been a lot of problems in there because it had three different accounting systems that had to be pushed together.
I really want to understand the situation with him and the newspapers, and just want to see if I have it correct. But Tarver's antipathy is in part because of Carter's attack on the newspaper during the campaign, as well as the fact that Tarver was supporting Sanders strongly.
I suppose so. Now, understand, Tarver doesn't write. He doesn't say anything.
He sets policy.
He and I have not discussed the reasons.
But the personal thing with Reg goes back to the left. At least that's a big factor in it. It's more involved in that. I understand that Reg also at one point was working for Sanders before he became editor. Am I correct on that?
I did some work
in the campaign.
I think so.
But how did Carter handle the letter after he found out about it?
He didn't do anything. There was a very short letter. They interviewed Jimmy here one day. He spoke to the Press Association, the Press Club over there, and then they got him on one of these tape recorders. And I think it was a 45-minute interview. And in the interview, they asked him some questions about how he got along with Sanders and the other candidates at these meetings, TV programs. And Jimmy said, Well, we get along fine with everybody but Carl. Says he comes in there and looks on us like a bunch of poor bastards that haven't got any business being or something like that. And in that 45-minute interview, Jimmy said bastard, and somewhere else he said damn, and then somewhere else he said hell. And in two of the instances, he was quoting a conversation, like the bastard thing, using it as a figure of speech. Well, they come out with a damn piece in the paper, Jimmy the Big Baptist, and I never have heard Jimmy curse myself, and they came out, they just extracted that and put the three or four sentences together, and that was the only thing they had in it. And to read it, you look like a fellow was just sitting down cussing and raising hell. And I was very skillful, you know. My God, we got letters from all over the state from this church saying they thought he was a Christian and all that sort of thing. But Bill Gunner, who is a man that's on the Supreme Court now, was a strong supporter of Jesus. And he just wrote him a letter. He said, "Dear Ray, you are a kept bastard. Signed, Bill Gunner." And, well, I'm sure Ray figured we all sit down and work that strategy out and nail it. But it was several weeks before I knew anything about it. And later on, Ray mentioned it in his column. Somebody had written and called him a bastard. And the only explanation I have for it, and the only reason I say that's a problem, some of them I talked to him said that he Carter people reflected on his fire act or something like that. But it's
a man would resent more being called kept than being called
I think the kept probably.
The book by V.O. Key on Southern Politics is that Georgia politics is fractionalized. It's the best way to describe the Democratic Party is a whole series of factions. Yesterday we went to the county commissioners meeting and we watched 12 candidates for governor, 3 Republicans and 9 Democrats. And it seemed to sort of substantiate the hypothesis that the party still has a lot of factions in it, except apparently there's an anti-Maddox faction and an anti-Maddox faction. But is that still true?
Well, yeah, they are still factions, but they can be reconciled with the exception of Maddox. And nobody has been able, no substantial person has been able to work with it. You just can't. Phil Campbell sort of described him when he was over there about as good as any of it. Maddox was just like a duck. Every morning when he come out of the water, he shook the water off his wings and took off. It was a new day. He could go in there. You can go in there and sit down and talk with him about it. Plan, and that we agree to do this, and we agree to that, and he'll, I think, in all sincerity, say, yeah, that'll be fine. Really good. And when he walks out of there, that's the last he ever remembers about that. And if you bring up a question of inconsistency, or you had an agreement on something, he said, well, they lied to me. That's the standard excuse where they lied to me. And nobody has just been able to deal with it. One thing, it's hard to get him to sit down. He's so damn nervous that he just moves around like a damn rooster or something all the time. You can't really get it. And when you get to talking about with the Sanders people, Marvin Griffin people, the blacks, anybody else, establishment, you can get in there and say, well, now, we've got some problems here that we can't reconcile, but here's something that's good for the state, it's good for everybody. And he work out something. If it's on a prison area or something like that, where everybody can get together like that, you can't get together with Maddox on anything. And you know, a little thing like the changing the name of the department, which is just a routine thing, I guess. It's just a major operation, but it hadn't been all bad. It's made Jimmy develop an effective team over there to combat things. And then it sort of made us walk a little more carefully than we would have. It's easy when you're in power to just figure everything as long as you know you're not doing anything wrong itself. It's easy just to sort of do what you want to. That's the way I got messed up in that damn pole. It was just a casual, sort of routine thing. And I didn't think the damn thing out. But Maddox is a...
Is Maddox in Georgia one of a kind, maybe the last of his kind?
I think so. I really think the damn fellow is a mental case. In some respects, he's a compassionate fellow. And faced with an immediate sad story, he starts crying. And in some instances, he shows compassion for black people. But over the long haul, he's got no interest in anything but his own publicity. He needs the damn publicity up. And he's a cagey. He's very skillful. That's his greatest talent. He's creating publicity, creating situations where the press will take him on. But he's beginning to wear thin with the people out in the country. And in some areas where he's supposed to be so popular, they're beginning to get tired of him.
We were surprised with the ferocity that the other candidates jumped on him yesterday. Question was asked about abolishing the office of lieutenant governor. And just about everybody agreed that if we had another person like Maddox, that ought to be abolished.
Well, he embarrasses everybody, and every fragment of the party was represented in that thing. And all of them were against Maddox. Maddox is not a Democrat. He just runs the Democrat because of the most people in the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm.
To what extent is Maddox used by Hugh Gillis in obstructing the governor's programs, in part because of his antipathy toward the governor because of removing his father from the Highway Commission?
to a great, great extent, and that's a sort of an odd arrangement. Hugh is a substantial fellow, and is a lots goes on over there with Maddox that he doesn't approve of, and I would say he wouldn't approve of, and he certainly doesn't participate in, but it's a necessary link, and it's a constant but not a complete link, is that he uses the lieutenant governor's power over there, coupled with his own. He's got more votes. He can vote more people on any issue than anybody over there except the governor. And he helps Maddox. One of the great things Maddox wants to do is to be able to speak, be in the limelight. He and them just share that to him, let him see what he wants to, and that is. And I think that's about all he requires of them. And they let him have all of that and brag on him. Make speeches over there about what a great fella he is and sorry fella the governor is, and Maddox sits there in peace and enjoys that. And that's,
he plays up his vanity. Do you think that the press, the political reporting press, allows Maddox to use them?
Yes. Well, you have to figure out he's about 35% of the people. 30-35% of the people that have always supported Maddox. And so I guess you'd say they responding to putting in the paper what some of their people want. And, but he spends all of his time figuring on that sort of thing. I guess a reporter has to think about something else besides Maddox. They need news, and he makes it for them.
Has there been extensive coverage of the substantive aspects of Carter's program?
Yes, and on individual reporters over there were we've been treated reasonably well. Where we get chopped up is in the editorial. And the lack of sometimes putting our side of the thing up. But, we can contrive that, and they're varying degrees. Now they've always been nice to me, so I've got no complaint about them on a personal basis. But they draw that even in the cartoons over there. They have the worst toothed up in pictures of the government, of the meaning. And I don't know how that thing is. Guts are damn screwed up over there, but it's hopeless, and it has affected Jimmy to some extent on the national scene. Having this crap come out of continuous flow of bad editorials on it. But apparently that has sort of vanished now. Jimmy has had enough contact with the people on the national press on the national scale that they operate on their own knowledge. But for a while, you could tell they were dubious about him from having read Reg Murphy.
We've had several people tell us that Governor Carter's popularity is fairly low, and several people attribute it to what they say is that he campaigned with a rhetoric that suggested a fair amount of sympathy with George Wallace and George Wallace's views, and then he turned around and made his inaugural speech stressing racial moderation and followed that course, and that a lot of people felt that he switched positions on them.
Well, I can see how somebody might say that. I don't think it's accurate, but I can see one of the things that I helped write his speeches, heard most of them, and the things that he's saying, things he said in his inauguration, he said many times.
Hey, Charlie.
Jimmy can and does appeal to the Wallace voter, but not on the racial ground. Wallace has got a lot of support people. Matter of fact, I think a great deal of his support is from people that are just down on the government. And he's got a lot of popular support. Jimmy is a populist. And Carl had made a bad mistake when he was governor. The legislature invited Wallace over here to speak. And Carl publicly arranged to have the invitation withdrawn, wouldn't let him speak. And that pissed off a lot of people, particularly in South Georgia. And that was one area in which Jimmy appealed to the Wallace people. That he thought anybody was entitled to be heard. That any governor of any state in the union would be welcome to speak. And Jimmy lit up, had some speeches. And the welfare that had to do with some reorganization and having to do with trying to make people work, which is getting over into some of Wallace's rich ground. But it's also a valid ground. If you read what he said, you heard him make those talks, and he makes them now. Well, you can see where people might think that. And you may feel that way yourself about it, but I never voted for Wallace. I don't ever tend to myself. And I'm sure, but I've taken polls almost continuously You look at this thing. They were saying this same thing last year about how unpopular you are. You look at this thing, you see around 70% of the people approve of this program in here. And this is just in the metropolitan area where he got beat in the election. Now, he's not as popular out in South Georgia as he was in the election. And it has to do with the race question to some extent. And more than anything else, I think it's Maddox going around pumping on the damn subject all the time.
How big a factor does race remain politically in Georgia?
Big factor all over the United States. It's still a big factor. It's more up to these, the last days of the state chairman meeting, I think it's a, probably a bigger factor. In the north and the west now, than it is in Georgia. You see this. The rural areas are integrated. South Georgia is integrated. But the metropolitan areas are the ones that are not integrated, and they're not going to get integrated.
Suburbs.
And that's true all over the country. And it's sort of ironic that the pressure that the integrated has been coming from the metropolitan area. When it gets right down to the integrated, well, it's more complex. You've got more costly busing problems, traffic problems, and all that. Make it more difficult, but they're not going. I think the tide in that area is turning the other way. I don't think hardly you're going to hear a hell of a lot about Bush from now on. I think it's going to sort of fade out. But it's still a factor. But it's not a factor in the sense that it was 1948. 1930. There's so much now that everybody acknowledges that black people are there. So much that's not in dispute. It's getting up on a more fine and I'm near of a social area, except in the job areas where in the unions, places where blacks have been pretty well excluded as they move into there now and compete for jobs. Well, you're getting them. Problem in there, like in Michigan, where you have a lot of jobs up there, a lot of black people move up there that way, you get a different sort of problem than you have in the South. And then you're getting problems from a high, almost in the intellectual area, where you get into this problem related to the one the Supreme Court dumped on DeFuentes, I think his name was, Washington. Well, the problem with all of the major companies, schools and everything else now faced with this question of whether you consider merit or whether you consider past discrimination, things of that sort. And that's getting a little back, backwash on a higher level that you didn't have in 48, 50, 60. But it plays a big role in a tangible, obscure, it's difficult to see it. It's not as black as it was in Maine, Gene Town, when you get up and talk about niggas, this sort of thing.
One last question I wanted to ask you, and that is this. Does Senator Herman Talmadge have any active interest or play any active role in state Democratic politics?
Yeah.
To what extent?
Well, he's very helpful, and I have a good relationship with him. Whenever we need him to make a speech, help us raise money, he's very helpful. He's been very friendly and helpful to Jimmy. He's always cooperated with us and kept us in what we tried to do.
Am I correct that he has not attempted to assume any dominating role in as far as party political matters are concerned?
Yeah, he is. Whatever you ask him to do, he can do.
But am I correct? Does he ask much, that much be done?
How's the Republican Party doing in the state?
They've been doing pretty well in the suburbs. Out to DeKalb County, Cobb County. This county has a little ring. That's a ring around Atlanta. You've got the blacks, and then you get the suburb, and you've got to get in the Republican fuel on the north side. And then it's the same pattern comes true in some of the, in the other metropolitan area. That's what this thing sold out. And that's what I was trying to find out, and I was just interested in this area right around Atlanta. Most of those people consider themselves Democrats, but they vote Republican. A lot of independents in those areas. I forget what the figures are. I think maybe it's 25-30% of them are independents, which is, I think, about the national average, but it's not the Georgia average. Most of them are Democrats. But there's, for instance, in the cab, just 15% of the people out there, 15 or 16, something like that, consider themselves Republicans. The Republicans just swept that whole damn county out there in the last election. The Republican judges, Republican county commissioners.
Do you have any recent statewide polls?